There is a statement in the world of finance and investment I borrow. The lower the risk, the lower the rate of return. The higher the risk, the higher the rate of return. And this statement holds true to your life lived as a follower of Christ. Those things God calls us to that seem great to us always seem to require great faithfulness. The growing follower of Christ learns to live a life of great faithfulness. Does your life display faithfulness? There is a story of a little gray mouse who lived in the same house as an old gray cat. The little mouse was afraid of the cat. "Oh, how happy I would be if I were a cat," the mouse said. A fairy heard the mouse, felt sorry for him, and made him into a cat. All was well until one day when a dog ran after him. "It's not much fun being a cat. I wish I were a dog. I'm afraid of the dog all the time." Again, the fairy heard him. She felt sorry for the cat and turned him into a big dog. His happiness knew no bounds until one day he heard a lion roar. "Just listen to that lion. It's not safe to be a dog after all. I wish I were a lion. Then I would never be afraid." Off he went to the fairy. Again, the fairy was sorry for him and made him into a big, strong lion. One day, a man tried to kill the lion. Again, to the fairy. "What now?" the fairy asked. "I want to be a man. Then no one can make me afraid." "No," the fairy said, "I will not. A man must have a brave heart, and you will have only the heart of a mouse. So a mouse you will become again, and a mouse you will stay." Too many are like the mouse, always wishing we were someone else, in some other situation, called to something else. What has God called you to today? What has God called you to today? What calling has He placed on your life? Every one of us has the primary calling of following after Christ, of becoming more like Him. That's the primary calling. But we also have, as believers, a secondary calling on our lives. That everyone, everywhere, and everything is to be His witness at home, in this area of Franklin, Macon County, and all over the world. And you also have a calling to be a part of the ministry teams of this church. You have such a calling on your life. And if you have such a calling, you have been equipped by God to carry out your calling. We are called and we are equipped. Are you a mouse this morning, or are you living your life a life of faithfulness? We're going to look at a man's life who was too much the mouse. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 4. We're going to begin in verse 1. Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. Then Moses said, "What if they will not believe me or listen to what I say? For they may say, 'The Lord has not appeared to you.'" The Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" And he said, "A staff." Then he said, "Throw it on the ground." So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. But the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand and grasp it by its tail." So he stretched out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. The Lord furthermore said to him, "Now put your hand into your bosom." So he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. Then he said, "Put your hand into your bosom again." So he put his hand into his bosom again, and when he took it out of his bosom, behold, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. If they will not believe you or heed the witness of the first sign, they may believe the witness of the last sign. But if they will not believe even these two signs or heed what you say, then you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. And the water which you take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground. Then Moses said to the Lord, "Please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. The Lord said to him, Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now then go, and I, even I, will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to say. But he said, Please, Lord, now send the message by whomever you will. Then the anger of the Lord burned against Moses, and he said, Is there not your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know that he speaks fluently. And moreover, behold, he is coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. We are called and we are equipped. As God calls and equips you, he gives power to overcome your past. There is no part of creation that God does not have control over. He has power and control over everything. And from Moses himself to the Nile, and to prove his point to Moses, three miraculous signs, all involving change, are given. The Lord asked Moses what was in his hand. A staff? Pretty obvious, isn't it, Lord? A staff? And he said, Moses, throw it on the ground. And it became a snake. Now, I got to tell you, if I had been Moses, I'd have found a rock or a shovel or a hoe. Because I didn't want to deal with this snake. And he says, Now, grab the snake's tail, and it became a staff again. And for me, again, that would have been the greatest piece of faith that I could have mustered, was to grab a writhing, moving snake. And Moses did it. Second, he says, put your hand inside your clothes, into his bosom. So he puts his hand in, and he takes it out, and it's leprous. Which was a terrible, terrible thing. And then he says, put your hand back into your clothing. And he puts it back into his bosom. And he pulls it out, and it's whole again. It was healed. The last sign, if the people would not believe him, was for Moses to take water out of the Nile River and pour it on the ground. And it would become blood. But you say, Moses, he didn't have the best credentials, did he? No, he didn't. He had been reared in Pharaoh's court. He had become a fugitive from Egyptian justice. He had left his people to dwell among the Midianites. And he married a Midianite woman who bore him a son. So when the Lord came to him in chapter 3, Moses properly expressed humility in regards to what God was calling him to. He said, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out? Then in chapter 3, verse 13, Moses sets the situation of him going to the sons of Israel and saying, The God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they're going to say, Who? Who has sent? What is his name? And what shall I say to them? And the Lord's answer for him was, I am who I am. I am he who is. I am he who exists. Say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And remember, Jesus used the same. I am. Not I was, not I will be. I am. I am able to take care of you in the least of the situations. I am able to take care of you in the biggest of situations. I am has sent you. Now, look back at verse 1. And say that or think that with a sneer on your face and sarcasm in your voice. The Lord has not appeared to you. And that's what he was afraid the people would say. Could the Lord do anything with such a man? Could the Lord do anything? Could he give power to overcome the man's past? The Lord can, and the Lord did. The Lord can, and the Lord does. You may have heard the story. A mother took her little boy to a concert by a famous pianist because she thought the child had some musical ability and she wanted him to be inspired by this man. They sat close enough to the stage that when she turned around to talk to somebody, because the piano, the curtain was open and there was the piano, the little boy got up and went up on the stage and sat down on the bench and began to play chopsticks. Now, I would go over there to the piano, but I'm afraid I can't even find middle C anymore, much less play chopsticks. But he was just playing it with all his might. The mother was aghast. The people were in the audience as well. And about that time, the pianist walked out. And he sat down on the bench and he whispered to the little boy, "Keep playing." So the little boy kept playing chopsticks. And he began to play a most amazing piece around that. And that's what the Lord does. We may only be able to play chopsticks, but the Lord is able to take that and use that because God's power overcomes all of it. Let me tell you, everyone has an irrevocable past. What's done is done. Time travel is still not possible. For the lost person, if you're that lost person this morning, hearing God's call to come into a saving relationship with Jesus, his power overcomes your past. It is by grace that we are saved. It is not by works. It is not that I earn it. It is not that I work off a debt. It is by his grace that we are saved. His power overcomes our past. Mercy and grace are not what they are if you deserve them. And so this is why the idea of cleaning up your life and then coming to Christ is all backwards. For the believer, have you ever tried to serve God, be a part of his calling on your life, only to feel like a failure? Maybe you were, maybe you weren't. But God's power overcomes it all. His power overcomes it all. So set your heart and your mind on being faithful to God. The call last week was for us to get to the point of being desperate in prayer. How'd the week go? Maybe you were like me. And I didn't pray like I should have. You say, well, you failed. God's power is able to overcome our failure. Remain faithful to God in what and where he has put you, because God calls and God equips. As God calls and God equips, he gives everything necessary to accomplish his plan. Moses had just witnessed a demonstration of God's mighty power. Yet he continued to make excuses. He complained of not being eloquent, of being slow of speech, slow of tongue. So surely someone else must do this. Surely someone else must do the task. And the Lord asked him, "Who has made man's mouth, including yours?" "Well, Lord, you have." "Who makes a person mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord?" And God's call to Moses was to join him in what he was doing. "You go, and I will be with your mouth. I will teach you what to say." In verse 13, Moses finally got down to admitting out loud what had been in his heart all along. Moses basically said, "I don't want to do it." He just didn't want to go. And so the Lord was angry with him. Rightfully so, but he was also merciful. Also merciful. So God promises Moses help. Everything necessary to accomplish the task. God gave him just what he needed, just what he lacked. He said, well, what about your brother, Aaron? He talks pretty well, doesn't he? You're going to be like God to him. You're going to tell him, I'm going to tell you, Moses, what to say, and Moses, you're going to tell him what to say. I will be with your mouth and his mouth. He shall speak to the people for you. God gave him everything necessary to accomplish the task. The article began this way. Moses and the children of Israel are not the only ones who report having witnessed miracles in the desert. The article was about Operation Desert Storm, which unfolded in the Middle East in 1990 into 1991, as U.S. forces invaded Iraq. Desert Storm's most incredible story was the miracle well that appeared out of nowhere to supply 100,000 gallons of water a day for U.S. soldiers. 100,000 gallons of water a day. That's a lot of water. As supplies were being gathered, the need for ample water became more apparent, due in part because of the threat of chemical warfare. At first, the water supply was in place, but the operation moved to a flat area called the Gravel Plains. No water. As military leaders met to pray together, the general in charge was called out so that he could see something for himself. What they saw has been characterized as a scene that could have been lifted from a script for The Twilight Zone. A pipe rising out of the ground about 30 to 50 yards off the road. And as it came up, a cross was formed by a crossbar protruding from the pipe. At the base of the pipe was a brightly painted red pump, a green diesel generator, four new batteries still wrapped in plastic, and 100,000 gallons of diesel fuel stored in a tank above the ground. And everything worked. The general in charge said there was no way anyone could have driven down that road and not seen that well and equipment. He believes that the well appeared as an answer to prayer. The general also believes God performed another miracle in answer to prayer 15 minutes before the ground attack on February 24, 1991 was to begin. The wind shifted. The shift in the wind neutralized the threat of poison gas back toward the Iraqis. God gives everything necessary to accomplish his will. This morning, what have you felt God's nudge, God's call about in your life? And maybe you felt it only to resist or even ignore it. Why? Why? And it may be something as small as going over and talking with a neighbor or calling them on the phone and saying, why don't you come go with me to church? Or it may be that ladies, you can call some of your lady friends and say, let's go out to have lunch, and men can do the same. But why is it that we have doubted, resisted that? The saying is true, you cannot go with God and stay where you are. Faithful people prove their faith by beginning something that only God can finish. Is that part of our problem here in this church? That we're only willing to do what we know we can do? That we see that we can do? When God has called us to do something more? To be a part of something more? God has called us, God is calling you to something bigger. There's a postscript to the story of Moses. And his story needs to become your story. Just as with Moses, God loves you enough to accept you as you are, but he loves you too much to leave you where you are. It is your faith that trusts that he can succeed. God's power, God's love transformed Moses, and Moses began living with his future determining his present, not his past. Just as we all need to. Remember the statement from Finance and Investment If you want a higher return, it's going to take a higher risk. And that's true in our lives. That's true for the life of this church. That's true for the life that you're living. So what is God calling you to join Him in today? Trust that He will work it out. His grace overcomes the past. His power makes possible the way to accomplish everything for His glory. Are we willing to say, "Yes, Lord, I'll do it"?